Welcome to the Pan Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we're going to talk about a movie that came out semi-recently. It's about monsters, maybe? I don't know. I don't care. It's a stupid
spoilers,
movie.
Spoilers, bro.
It's called Cloverfield Lane.
Humanity is the real monster.
Lame!
Oh, my God.
Who's here?
Well, we should warn people that if they have not seen the movie and they intend to.
You probably won't
spoilers
ever intend
within.
To after
immediately
this, so,
don't listen because there's a lot of those here.
Just listen and then you won't have to ever watch it because you'll learn how bad it is.
No,
that's right. Still, save yourself. There's still time.
I've actually never seen
it.
Who's
CK.
Here? There you go.
Oh, it's my turn?
Whoever.
Hey, my name's David. Hi.
You did it.
I'll go. My name's Dave and I'm here.
Which is not Dave with a V, but yeah. Dave with a B. And I am Mike Failauer. My name does not sound like Dave or Dave.
No, yours is a very unique name.
Yes.
Sounds like flower.
Yeah.
All right. So, who wants to go first? I guess the yay team should go first. Who wants to be representative number one for yay
team? With the rest of the rabble.
The yay team is everyone besides Mike Failauer.
So, I guess, like...
Do you guys want to talk about...
It is based in the world of... Cloverfield, which is a movie that came out, I don't know, years ago, but it is not that movie. It is different characters, different
filming style.
Very different filming style, very different movie. So
I didn't see the original one.
You didn't see the original
one?
So what did you think then, I guess?
But you are aware that there was a movie called Cloverfield.
I'm aware that there was a movie called Cloverfield, and I'm aware that it had something to do with a monster of sorts.
Okay.
I didn't know the origin of this monster.
So that is critical information.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
I did know that there is going to be some science fiction-y element to this story somewhere in there. But even during the movie, I was like, when is that going to kick in? So I expected it, and it when it does finally reveal, I wasn't caught off guard because of the name. I feel like if the movie wasn't called Cloverfield, I would have been like very disappointed that they went in that direction because it feels like a cop-out, but because you are set up for it due to the name... That it didn't feel like a cop-out.
Wow. You zigged when I thought you were going to zag.
Yeah,
though.
No, that sounds bad, actually. You make it sound worse. That only because it's associated with the other movie, can it be okay with this thing that otherwise would be horrible?
I don't think it... I really enjoyed the movie. I don't ever want to see it again.
Why did you enjoy it?
I know I'd never want to see it again, but I really liked it.
What did you find enjoyable?
Team are you on again?
I'm on the probe tour.
Okay, all right.
I really liked it. Had a great time.
But
sort
only
of.
Once.
I actually kind of had a bad time at the same time.
What?
The tense. It's a very, very tense movie the entire time.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely. And like, it is terrifying in a way that very few movies are terrifying.
What was the tension?
The tension was not being sure whose team John Goodman was on.
I think you having seen the spoiler and having it fresh, or the trailer and having it fresh in your brain.
I did, all right, so let me do the caveat. So I famously do not watch trailers and haven't since The Matrix.
Sure.
In 98, I guess. But I only, sometimes a movie trailer will come on, and if it's a movie that I want to see or don't know what it is, I'll just leave the room or close my eyes or whatever. This is how I keep myself away from trailers. But if a trailer starts and it's for something that I know I won't see or don't care about, like a commercial or whatever, I'll watch it. Because trailers are really interesting. One of my first jobs in college was watching trailers and reporting on audience reactions to the Disney Corporation.
Interesting.
I'm a fan of the form of the medium, and I always watch the trailers after I see a movie. Anyway, so I saw the trailer for Cloverfield, and I'm familiar with the franchise of Cloverfield. And so, having seen the trailer, I was aware that John Goodman is a villain of this movie. There is a confrontation where he is assaulted physically. There is a scene where she escapes and runs up to the surface and encounters something horrific. There is a catastrophic fire, which obviously will wreck the entire bunker and make it uninhabitable. And so there was no tension. It was the movie played out exactly as I imagine it would, where John
based
Goodman,
on the trailer.
That's
John
not
Goodman
what I got from the
someone.
Trailer.
Pardon?
That's not what I got from the trailer.
What did you get from the trailer?
I got from the trailer John Goodman captures them, but he's trying to save them, and he tries to communicate that. The other guy seems like he sort of gets it, but she doesn't believe it, and she's constantly trying to escape.
But shit's really happening.
But there's something out there, actually for real, and he's not fucking with them, and he's not trying to keep them there and torture them or whatever.
He's not.
That's what I got from the trailer.
He's not trying to torture them.
Yeah.
But he in his brain, he is trying to save them.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just...
He didn't get set up as the villain to me until the last 30 minutes of the movie. Because I wanted to believe him the whole time. And I wanted to be on his side because the name was Cloverfield, right? So sure. I was like, oh, he's talking about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the thing that's really happening. And that's what they're trying to throw you off.
Yeah, I think the movie is very good at...
Remember the fire happening in the trailer.
The fire,
I seen the fire and remembered that, it might have been like, oh, that I'm just waiting for that.
It shows the scene where the acid fuel is...
Yeah, see, bursting. I don't remember that at all. And that...
And it's like the entire room
that
goes
is a
up.
Very important moment.
It's like, okay, well, I know where this will end, right?
Yeah.
I know the major dramatic beats of her escaping, them assaulting John Goodman, and I know there's aliens because it's a Cloverfield movie. So where is the tension, right? Where is the mystery? Where's the drama?
I thought the movie did a great job of painting John Goodman as someone who is not a good person, not a bad person, an unstable person, and capable of doing great good and also capable of doing great harm. And the movie kind of wavers on that line. It walks the tightrope
until
between.
It definitively says, no, this guy's a really bad person.
Yes, yeah. But that is at the end of the movie when you want those sorts of questions to be resolved.
Yeah.
So should we run through a summary of the movie for those people
probably.
That are listening?
Yeah.
All right.
Now here's the real spoiler time. So
yeah,
leave
so
the room.
Real spoiler.
Wow. You weren't already
thoughts.
Spoiled.
I think we're pretty safe right there.
Yeah.
I guess we can bounce off each other on this, but movie opens and there's the main character. She's avoiding
breaking up.
She's essentially doing like a breakup and runaway from boyfriend, takes a bottle of liquor and jumps in her car.
Right.
Doesn't
the
drink
bottle
it.
Of liquor.
We're not saying act.
Grief.
We're not saying that she is drinking and driving, but she's driving. He calls. She ignores the call a few times.
Gets driven off the road.
Stops at a gas station, sees a weird truck, and then eventually gets driven off the road. And that whole sequence is very loud and silent. And I think that was done well because it immediately sets up a, oh shit, it's a pretty serious situation. She wakes up in a room, concrete like basement. And she has a leg brace on that is chained to the wall. So she immediately panics. John Goodman comes in and is like, hey, here's this food or whatever. And you don't really know what's happening there. Right. And she's
I
just,
saved you. He says that.
Does he say I saved you?
He says I saved you.
Yeah.
You're going to need these crutches.
But
she immediately tries to kill him.
Yeah, she does. She immediately tries to
Which
stab him.
And
sharpens. Way aggro.
Yeah. Sharpens the crutch to a stake.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And does not succeed and finds out that there's another person in there who's just like a
chilling
a dude
some local.
Who's totally all right. He helped build the bunker, but he's
yeah, because then he leaves and he leaves the door open and just lets her and she's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't know what that meant.
And so. Over time they form a friendship.
Yeah.
She's really suspicious of this guy and his motives.
Yeah,
and he's sort of gets in his head too.
Yeah, he's claiming that
her little friend rather.
That there has been a attack on Earth.
Might be Martians.
Yeah,
he makes that sound as crazy as it sounds.
He's very doomsday prepary, and he has this bunker that he's built. So,
but a doomsday happens, so it's not like, you know.
Yeah. He's
right.
So,
but we don't know that. The last thing she remembers is getting in a car accident.
Right.
And there were some reports of power outages or whatever.
Yeah.
But so she is eventually so suspicious of this guy and kind of his unstable nature that she orchestrates an escape and knocks him on the head with a beer bottle and runs up the stairs, locks him into the lower part of the bunker while she's in sort of the airlock portion. And there she sees someone from the outside.
Yeah.
That was an interesting
scene. Made me jump. That caught me off guard. The fact that the woman was on the other side, horribly like scarred, looking like burns all over her body.
Yeah, it looked like she had some sort of like exposure to a chemical agent
or
something.
Yeah, she was just like, let me in, I'm fine. It didn't touch me, or it only touched me for a second. Something like that, and you're
like, that's the part that I found super, like, that was the one redeeming part of the movie, was the mystery of what the threat was.
Yeah.
And she looked like, was it biological, was it chemical?
Yeah.
But then the movie turned it up, and this is the part that I was like, oh, okay, maybe this movie is cool. She responds to the woman, the protagonist, not opening the door by smashing her forehead against the armored glass.
Yeah.
Which is not what a rational person would do. Eric and I were talking about this earlier. She's on a farm. There's a tool shed with all kinds of farming implements.
She had her car there.
A dozen feet away.
Yep.
She had her car, presumably a jack and a tire iron, all that good stuff. She smashes her face into armored glass.
Yeah.
And that was horrifying, right? Like, so is it like, was it mind control? Was it like a rage virus?
Yeah.
Like, and then, was not the act of a desperate person, even. It was the act of a person not in control of themselves.
And then they mentioned really spooky. They mentioned later how they heard her choke to death, essentially, from the basement.
Right.
So you know that shit's bad out there. It's potentially inhalable. Yeah. And that's what he's been talking about the whole time.
So our protagonist then buys it, the story.
Yeah.
And they settle into this sort of routine of domestic, I can't call it bliss really, but at least acceptance.
Yeah, they kind of accept that it's gone to shit. And everything feels comfortable and safe. And I think that's where you start to be like, you know what? He is the right guy. He just doesn't know how to talk to people.
Right.
And then they have a break in the air duct system. And so they the door's jammed. So they have to send the main character through the air ducts because she's the only one small enough that can fit through.
A little claustrophobic moment for those who are susceptible to that.
She is a very claustrophobic moment. Not super bad compared to like The Descent or something gnarly like that. But she gets through and finds this room where she resets the air duct system, and she sees fresh air. She doesn't see fresh air. She sees sunlight. Blue sky. And so she climbs to the top and just kind of is looking out.
And there's a hatch.
And there's a hatch and it's locked, but she's like, all right. But then you see her see some scrapings on the glass and she pulls some like siding out of the way and it says help or help me or something like
that.
Just
help.
And then she finds a bloody earring on the ground that was used to carve this. So she immediately gets suspicious because obviously that means that this has happened before.
On the inside of the glass, to be clear.
Yeah. She's not the only one that has been trapped there before, and they're probably not living anymore because there's no one else down there. So
they start questioning this guy, putting together the pieces of the story that they know, and I think they find like a yearbook photo that was the damning evidence.
Well, he had showed her a photo earlier purportedly of his daughter, which he gave her some clothes.
He had some sad these were my daughters. About his family being taken away from him.
But then when she went and took the photo and showed it to the other guy,
the local,
who had met the daughter,
he said
that was not his daughter. That's this other lady
that
he went to school with that disappeared.
A missing person.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah. So the whole time, and one of the biggest parts of John Goodman's character is his family left him, and he loved his daughter so much that he's constantly kind of looking for a replacement for that. And so that's kind of an arc that you see unfold, is he saved her because he's essentially reworking her to be his daughter. It's not a weird, like, perverted thing. It's just...
It was kind of weird.
It's like photo. It's very weird.
Very weird.
It's very weird because even the words he chooses, like he chooses like princess and stuff that make her feel younger than she actually is.
That was
in the movie.
A good scene, admittedly.
And
or the charades scene.
Yeah. So you realize he's very unstable, but there's a missing person that he clearly abducted and kept
and
down there.
Killed.
And you wonder, did he lie to her about this being the end of the world? Because this has happened before. So that's an area that you're not sure actually throughout the entire movie. Right. You don't know that whole backstory, which is kind of interesting.
So then they decide to fabricate a space suit.
Yeah. Well, you see
environmental
that,
suit rather.
In the opening scene, you see that she's a seamstress. So she's she's a clothing designer. So she finds his doomsday books because he has a ton of them. And I'm sure that he's fine with her reading them.
Yeah.
She finds how to make essentially a DIY gas mask. So she kind of puts together a
hazmat suit.
Yeah, hazmat suit out of shower curtain.
Right.
She has a collaborator with her little friend, the local. Yeah.
Who you kind of feel he's not very good at talking to people either.
He's simple.
He's a lot better.
Yeah.
He kind of has a sad story about being too afraid to leave his hometown and
he's
stuff like
that.
Never
gone more than like 20 miles.
But you really want to like him as well. You want to like everybody. But at a point you know that they are the team that you want to be rooting for. And so.
Yeah, good guys and bad guys have been explicitly declared.
She builds this suit and John Goodman gets suspicious very near to the end of it being done and
confronts them.
He confronts them both, shows them a vat of acid that he keeps there. And it's a large barrel of acid that is good at...
The disposal.
Yeah, essentially their disposal. They don't exactly... He doesn't 100% clarify why he has it. And over a very tense moment, he just is questioning them and kind of like threatening them with the open barrel of acid. And you think that everything's been resolved because Emmett, the other character, confesses that he's trying to build a weapon and he's really sorry, and he just didn't want John Goodman to be the only one who had a gun and stuff like that, and he just wanted to be safe and stuff. And during his apology, John Goodman says, "I accept your apology," and then immediately shoots him in the face.
Yeah. Right.
Just gone. And that moment is another one that is quiet, and because the shot rings out, and then everything goes to
filmmaking there.
Yeah. Everything goes to
the ringing noise.
And then as sound comes back, you just hear John Goodman explaining, like, no, it's fine. He had a gun. He said he was making a weapon. I'm trying to save us, or something like that.
It's okay now.
Yeah.
I'll deal with the mess.
Yeah.
Very practical.
And then puts her back in her room, and he goes and disposes of the body, which means putting in acid and stuff.
She immediately gets the suit ready to go. Yeah, she immediately
tries to get the suit ready to go, and he comes in fully clean shaven and kind of like wearing better clothes, which makes you think that the whole time he was just kind of waiting for Emmett to disappear.
Now it's just those two.
Yeah, now it's just those two. And you're not really sure what's going to happen there either.
Don't want to find out.
Yeah, but she's very, very obviously uncomfortable with the situation, having just watched one of her friends be murdered. One of the last sane people that she thinks exists. So
big fight.
Yeah, she essentially gets away from him, gets the suit out, and pushes over the barrel of acid and
onto him.
And so he's just getting
melted.
And that is a very explicit part. They only show it for a few seconds, but it's very intense.
It's good voice acting by John Goodman on that one.
Starts a fire. Everything's going to shit. She essentially escapes through the duct.
Steals the keys.
No, she doesn't steal the keys.
She steals the compressed air.
Yeah, because he talked about how he was in the Navy previously.
Right.
He used to bash off the locks on doors after freezing them.
Like their overt foreshadowing.
Yeah, so she very much does that and escapes out the hatch in her gas mask suit and like wanders out, and then the whole thing explodes. So bad things happen.
She's free.
Well, she's looking for a way out.
Yeah.
And she gets to the car where that ran her off the road, John Goodman's car.
Yeah.
Scrapes her suit, panics.
Rips her suit, yeah.
Yeah.
Tries to patch it. She's freaking out. But then she hears the birds.
Yeah, she sees birds.
Pulls off the hood. She can breathe just fine.
Yeah.
And that's where they should have ended the movie.
Oh my God. Michael.
So the next thing that happens is the part where
the hatch explodes. It gets ominous.
Yeah, this is the part where you're like,
she sees a helicopter that's not a helicopter.
Yeah, she sees a hovering ship kind of moving across the cornfield that she's on the edge of.
The hatch explosion draws it.
Yeah, the hatch explosion brings it over there and drops off a creature.
Slug dog.
We're gonna call it Slug Dog, who seems to not have eyes, but whatever. You know, you've seen Tremors.
Right.
And that kind of chases her down. Tense cat and mouse until the ship shows up and kind of
gasses her, but she's got her hood.
Yeah, she jumps in the car, right?
No, first she hoods.
She hoods up, jumps in the car,
and then the ship grabs the car and starts lifting it up towards.
But wait, the bottle of whiskey.
Oh yeah. That bottle of whiskey from earlier. She makes a little Molotov cocktail.
Anything which is very, once in this movie, I'll admit, has a pivotal.
It's very Chekhov's gun type of situation. She learned how to do that immediately, I guess. She makes a Molotov cocktail last minute, throws it into the
throws a lit bottle of liquid straight up 30 feet into a 1 foot opening.
Yeah.
Nice shot.
Yeah, she Luke Skywalkers it and
blows up an entire ship.
It explodes and destroys the entire ship. And she wins. There.
The roboid goes away, I guess.
I don't know where the worm thing really goes.
She gets in the crazy lady's face bashing lady's car and drives away.
And drives away. And on the way out, she hears a radio signal come in that there's survivors in Houston and they're fighting back and stuff. And the whole movie, she kind of starting with her running away from her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend at the time, she kind of freezes and running away from problems. So she actually decides to take a left, hard left towards Houston and go towards Houston and face her problems. So movie's kind of
Bernie
all about
Sanders 2016.
Movie's kind of all about her voting Bernie, feeling the burn.
Hard left. No, me?
Hard left.
Cool. Man, now I definitely don't want to watch it.
I enjoyed it, you enjoyed it, you didn't like it.
Boring. Boring.
So you were bored.
It had some good elements, like every movie has good elements, right? It's me that's talking here.
Sure.
The confrontation with the crazy lady was good.
Mm-hmm.
The tense charades scene.
All of John Goodman's good performance is incredible.
Yeah, so would it have been good if you had seen the trailer?
All parties were great.
Yes.
Do you think?
Definitely.
You would have seen it. You would have.
I should have. I mean, again, I had no idea that I would actually be seeing this movie. But I think if I didn't know that John Goodman was a bad guy,
right,
that would have helped this movie a lot.
Yeah.
And if it was named anything other than Cloverfield, that would have been cool too. Because then you're like, okay, this is some creepy bunker dude.
Yeah, you would have just thought it was like
that. Like, oh crap, that lady was nuts.
Yeah, the fact that he did save her. Called Cloverfield, really, I mean, yes, there's obviously aliens out there. You saw the first one, or you know about the first one.
Yeah,
right.
They're definitely out there. Yeah, it's not a question.
You expect
the
but aliens. But at the same time,
it could have been.
But you kind of, he's saying some crazy shit, and you're like.
But you know.
It could have been a really cool, tense character movie,
but you don't
rather
know,
than ticking off the list of like.
From the first one, you don't know how widespread that is. I mean, the camera was recovered at the end. You don't know if it was like just that city and surrounding area. Was it, you know, everything?
But well, it's a sequel. You know,
I saw this. I don't know if it's a sequel. I saw this with the esteemed Mark Jessup, and he had a pretty fun, I guess, theory crafting about what this was about, where the Cloverfield monster is like the Zerg, like just destruction in a huge form, like just bad infection kind of thing. And these guys, more technological, are the race that is the Protoss that's sort of falling along and just trying to purge it wherever it lands.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be kind of a neat,
interesting
setup, right? Where they're like, look, humanity are just, they're just animals. They're ants, right? We're fighting.
Let's purge all life.
An invasive species that is going to wreck this entire planet unless
that
we contain it.
That is a pretty interesting theory, but I have no idea about the monster in the first one because I never saw it. So
it was Godzilla.
I don't know the differences.
It was Space Godzilla.
It was Godzilla, but he had little friends.
Space Godzilla with
infected friends.
With, parasites that are bad.
What, David, you had a thought?
Dave's here.
Yeah, hey.
And you liked the movie a lot.
I loved the movie. I had a couple things that have all passed by, so I'm going to end up retreading now.
Sorry.
But first of all, Mr. Failure
right now.
I'm looking at Mr. Failure right now. Mr. Failure says that the trailer ruined the movie because he knew everything was going to happen before he walked in the theater, and when he's watching the movie, it all just plays out and there's
exactly
no surprises.
Exactly as you'd expect, yeah.
And then when the movie takes the twist that is not at all in the trailers, you say that you didn't want that twist. You wanted it to end right where you knew it would end.
Which twist?
The aliens.
The aliens.
I wanted it to end before that.
That's what I'm saying.
You wanted it to end as soon as she rips her mask off.
Yeah, because then I would be surprised instead of like, oh, yeah, and here's the aliens.
Yeah, there'd be no ending.
Well, the ending was like, oh, maybe he was crazy. Maybe there aren't aliens, and you don't know. It's ambiguous. That's cool. That's fun.
You actually... So you didn't want the aliens because you didn't want the surprise of the aliens.
It wasn't a surprise. It was Cloverfield. It was an alien movie.
Okay, so you wanted a movie called 10 Cloverfield Lane to have nothing to do with Cloverfield.
I wanted a movie called The Bunker.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Better movie.
Which I think is the origin of this, right? This was a book or a movie called The Cellar, and it was shopped around for like a decade or something, and then they adapted it to be a Cloverfield movie.
I don't know.
And that's what
I have
got.
Absolutely no idea on the writing.
Yeah, that's the story of it.
I know the director.
This was written as just like a tense psychological thriller of a dude who abducts a person and brings him into the bunker and says, I'm protecting you.
Yeah.
And the mystery is like, is this person protecting me or is he not?
I think that it is fortunate that the movie is called 10 Cloverfield Lane because without that connection, it is too obvious that John Goodman is unhinged and not a reliable person because he's already speaking madness and he does it in a very mad way. Like you have no reason to think that there's anything legitimate to what he's saying.
Well, that's what the lady.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens in the first 15 minutes is that person arrives and is dying of something.
That's later on.
Something's going on.
Yeah, that's like in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
Because they do a while before you know if he's real or not.
Yeah.
He shows like that his pigs died horribly.
Which is, right. Which is, you know,
which could be
suspicious.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could have slaughtered them and then went in the thing.
Yeah, because you can't, because it's far away from the bunker window, so you can't really see what's.
But it does, the movie already had a scene where they kind of confirm that something's going on out there with the lady.
Yeah.
The face lady.
Yeah, which should bring you back to, okay, he's right. He's not crazy. Maybe she's crazy. Or
he is crazy,
else.
But he's right about this.
Yeah, I mean, right, he's crazy.
And now it's kind of this tense
wrong.
Thing
he's
of like,
to help them.
Yeah. But then they bring in the whole like, oh, he's unhinged and just wants to have a daughter kind of around.
Which kicks off the end.
Which I think is his development of just like you seeing into his brain, kind of. And I think that that's what's the most interesting about him as a character versus just a villain. Because he's not a villain. He thinks he's right and doing the right thing the whole time.
Sure.
Just the best kind of villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think he's evil in any way. He might have the wrong impulses.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he did really play that prepper, you owe me, no one ever appreciated me, I was right, you guys didn't listen.
Yeah.
Kind of that passive-aggressive thing.
Oddly enough, I went to the dentist the day after seeing this, and my dentist, I didn't know, is a doomsday prepper.
Mm. Yeah.
He's a prepper. And when I mentioned the movie, because he wanted to know, he's like, tell me everything. I'm not going to see it. Just tell me. And I started going through it. And he's like, but you don't like prep at all? Like, what would happen if shit went down? Like, he started like kind of preaching a little bit to me. And I was like, oh no, this is the wrong conversation.
Well, there's prep and then there's preppers.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
He's like, you don't have
like we all live in Washington. We all need food and water and all that good stuff. Yeah. We're an earthquake zone.
That made me uncomfortable.
I can hide something in your teeth for you if you want.
Right.
A tooth to bite down on and end it all.
Yeah. Could be already there. You never know.
Dune style.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
I'm definitely prep adjacent, having grown up in Michigan and being part of that culture for quite a while. I've gone to those message boards.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, in April, I'm taking a class for the local CERT program here in Washington.
So that's why you didn't like the movie. It's because it's making fun
he
of
did it wrong. Yeah.
That's more like, you know,
it's earthquake preparedness.
Yeah, earthquake or whatever. That's not like super
crazy. The eventual tsunami.
Yeah, or the, you know, like tornadoes or whatever. Yeah. Or, yeah, like the earthquake that makes Mount St. Helens go fucking crazy, and then there's lava everywhere, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Washington very has good some
pretty,
bunker.
Like pretty cool resources.
It wasn't very deep bunker. It had a it very obvious very deep. Entrance.
Yeah.
Like, it was a real preparation to design that a little better, I think.
But it was cool, the set design, you know, like it was definitely evoking that sort of 50s Fallout shelter set of decor.
Yeah, they had VHS still.
Yeah, yeah. It was very well done. Like, this is clearly a person who invested everything he had into not top of the line stuff, but the stuff that he could afford, right? Mm-hmm. He probably has a nicer TV in his actual house. He put his crummy TV down there, like all that secondhand stuff just through the props told a story. I thought that was neat.
I personally have been, I think I like the movie more with the idea of the Cloverfield name being like Twilight Zone. It's just like, this is an idea of an alien versus it being a whole universe.
And I think that's what they're kind of shooting for.
We don't know yet. That might be confirmed if there's like a completely different alien in the
I think
third
Abrams disavowed, like, this is not a Cloverfield movie. Like, he was very...
And don't call it Clover. Like, no, why? Just take yourself away from it.
Yeah, it's not a sequel.
And that's the context that in which he meant it. I think what Dave's saying, where Cloverfield is just a brand that means spooky sci-fi alien element, is in this entertainment.
Yeah.
.com.
I don't like that either, though.
Or something. Just I like that idea.
Leave it. Leave it questionable. That way you have some questions, and then you get surprised.
But from a marketer's point of view,
eventually,
though.
Eventually, there's going to be aliens. I know. It's way a Cloverfield movie. They're coming. No surprise there.
But the people that go...
Titanic shouldn't have been...
No, M. Night Shyamalan happened, and it's obvious. You just gave it away.
The idea that someone would see this movie and hate sci-fi, and then all of a sudden aliens, they would be like, where is my money? It should be in my pocket. Why did I give it to this man?
No.
Well, aliens took it.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
You just don't go to movies.
Your money was abducted.
Me? Or
no,
that person. Oh, okay.
No, there's aliens. Fuck this. God.
Well, that's not a cop out because it was setting up that the whole time. It's right. All of a sudden aliens, I think, are a cop out measure that I think would a lot of people would be turned away from.
Yeah, I mean, there's an absolute genre shift that happens in the movie. Certainly. And I don't know that everyone can appreciate it the way that I can and perhaps the way that most of the people in this room could.
Yeah. The reason why I mentioned I don't want to see it in again is because it is very tense and uncomfortable through 75% of the movie.
Yeah, I legitimately, like, I know it's not a horror movie, and I would never call it a horror movie, but I was horrified by a lot of the things that happened in that movie in a way that
because they're all
does
real.
Not happen. Yeah, It's all very real, and it's very well presented. Like there, I don't normally care about the jump scares, but oh my god, there are some in this movie that just really got me.
It's way better than The Witch, though. Let's be real.
Is it? No, because
no, it's way better.
It's not a horror movie, and you know what? The first one was really more of a horror movie. And this one just, I mean, like looking at the trailer, I was like, what? This is. Why even call it Cloverfield?
That's, it's way too long, too.
Except that it has an alien. That's it.
It should have been like a 12-minute short.
No. No, thank you.
What should have been a 12-minute short?
This movie.
That would be interesting to pack that into 12
minutes. For those listening at home, majority of the room enjoys this movie, so don't nerd rage that there are people that don't like it. I think it's good to have this discussion, otherwise we'd be gushing about a movie, which yeah. I'm sure we've done before.
Yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of people that say see it both ways.
I'm not saying that this is an objectively bad movie.
I am very critical about certain things, and I like it to be the right way or not at all.
I think it was the best movie I've seen in a theater
this
year.
Not going to accept dumb things.
This calendar year you're talking about.
Which is only 3 months in.
I've not
seen very many movies. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really... Like, I saw Deadpool. You know what? I really enjoyed Deadpool, too, though.
Yeah, Deadpool was funny.
Yeah.
That was a good time the whole time.
I saw Zoolander. I liked Zoolander.
That one's pretty...
That does not look as good as the first one.
That one's rated pretty
low. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. Okay. But I'm just a fan of that, particular...
I loved Zoolander. It's like one of my favorite comedy movies, but that just did not
Not anywhere near as good as the first one, but it's still pretty funny.
So the takeaway here is that Mike Feilauer likes Zoolander 2
and hates
Cloverfield. That's accurate.
He also liked that assassin whatever movie, didn't you?
Which one?
The assassin ninja thing movie.
No one liked that.
Ninja assassin. Oh yeah, ninja assassin.
No one liked that movie.
You were right when you said it first.
No, I said assassin ninja.
Oh yeah,
movie. You know, it's close.
Everyone knows.
I forgot that it was actually called Ninja Assassin.
Didn't we all go see like one of the underworlds too? That was just wretched.
Maybe.
I hate all the underworlds.
I remember a vampire fight on a train that was.
Yeah.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. But speaking of bad movies,
there's got to be eight of those.
Batman and Superman, right? That's out today.
Yeah, that has like a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Everyone says this movie sucks. I can't. You know what? I'm looking forward to seeing it.
The response on Twitter, for the most part, is it's not as bad as everyone says. That's what all the people I follow are saying. Like, I saw it. It's all right.
If you're expecting it to be horrible and you like
Marvel,
you know, comic movies, which a lot of them are bad.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to think it's that bad.
Mm. Yeah, maybe that. I think going in with the low bar.
I think there might be some fanboyism going on.
Yeah.
It helps that nobody expects this movie to be good.
Yeah.
Like, that person doesn't exist. That person is going into this thinking, oh man, this is just got to be such a great movie. No, no.
It could be.
I want to see it.
I don't want to see it.
I'll watch it at some point.
I saw the first Tim Burton Batman so many times.
You don't want to see Civil War?
I don't think that looks interesting to me.
I don't know what that is.
Mm. Oh, I'm compelled. I've already bought my tickets.
Is it about Civil War?
Oh, interesting.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Huh?
Is it you can do that? Civil War?
Yeah.
About Marvel
Cinerama?
I don't know what Civil War is.
It's like it's a Captain America movie.
Oh.
But it's Civil War, but like it follows the Civil War timeline of essentially Iron Man versus Captain America, little teams on both sides.
I'm completely unfamiliar with all the comics, so I don't know much about the storyline, but what I do know from the trailers and stuff, I find very compelling.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Marvel movies.
How does that work? Iron Man teaming up with him when he can't?
They have a disagreement over the Winter Soldier.
And then he goes back in time? What? I mean, how does he get back in time?
What are you talking about?
It's not a back in time thing. You're thinking literal Civil War? This is called Civil War because there's a Civil War between.
Okay. You said back in the Civil War.
Oh, Dave, I'm so glad that you were able to piece that together.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right.
You're confusing me.
Yeah, right. I can see how that could be confusing. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, because Captain America has been around means for something. A long time.
Yeah, and the Wolverine movie had Civil War in it.
That's true, it did, yeah.
It's such a bad movie.
Yeah.
The Deadpool movie shits on it like twice in a row. It's so good.
Interesting.
Never saw that one.
The ARG elements of Cloverfield, did either of you participate? Because Gavin's not here, but Gavin is hype into the ARG
what
elements.
What kind of stuff did they do?
For 10 Cloverfield Lane or the first one?
Yeah, for both. He's followed both. But I don't know specifically what happened, but Rex, who I saw it with, was following it as well and made a bunch of connections based on like logos on documents that are like around the office and stuff. Apparently the company that he used to work for, through the ARG, discovered this, that he used to work for the company that did all the satellites
Yeah, they mentioned satellite naval satellites a couple times.
In the first Cloverfield movie, which I didn't see, that kind of woke up the monster. Is that a thing that happens?
Something falls from the sky. I think it was supposed to be a meteor, though, not a satellite.
It was the monster itself.
Right, it's like a chrysalis or something.
Media said it was a meteor, but it was actually a satellite, maybe?
Totally, it was a satellite that woke up the secret satellite monster. Anyways, he used to work for that company. And so he has inside information of like,
yeah,
this shit's real.
Times.
They referenced it a couple
right
times
about like the worm monsters and shit. Like he was right about the space worms because.
Yeah, there was one throwaway line where he mentions that he saw chatter spike. So he had advanced warning.
Right. Yeah.
Like he knew this was coming. It wasn't like he saw the attack and then reacted. Is he saw the prelude to the attack and bunkered up.
And there's a logo.
I thought that was
interesting. Logo on a piece of paper in the air duct thing where the help me is scratched into the wall that apparently links to something else. And I wish I could kind of clarify what that moment is. But this
that
is where Gavin would be able to really explain it out.
So does he admit or anything to what the help me was? Or you're just still kind of
never
left
comes up
wondering?
Oh, that never comes up.
Yeah, they never explicitly confront him with it.
Yeah,
I'm sure from his point of view, not knowing that she had the earring.
Well, the earring, they saw the picture of the girl that was disappeared a while ago was wearing the same earring. So
sure, but I'm like, why?
She really liked those earrings.
Why did why was she down there? Why did that happen? He hasn't been down there that long, has he?
Oh, he just used it as an abduction bunker.
Yeah, okay, so it was just a he just tortured people regularly.
He abducted this woman because his daughter left, and they were around the same age.
There we go.
And there's like a photo of them where she's clearly drugged up or something because her eyes aren't like looking at the camera. She's just kind of like looking off.
He's got an arm around her in a creepy way and it's gross.
Yeah.
Sweet.
He's a bad dude.
Yeah.
But you build a bunker, you want to put it to use, right?
I guess. Yeah. I may as well use it for something.
Prepper. You have a bunker?
You can use it for something else, though.
It's not going to help during an earthquake.
Rent it out.
You can buy them. He's from Washington. Old missile silos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I actually looked at it for the Penny Arcade HQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. It would have taken a lot of rehab, though.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's not cheap.
Enormous. It was crazy big.
Yeah.
So cool. So many floors underground.
Yeah. Definitely a place you want to be.
What did Gavin think of the movie?
Gavin adored it. Yeah, Gav's on team. Really good movie.
So good team. The ARG participants, you got paid for that time spent interacting with the property beforehand.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's the other way you can go, right? Because I'm no spoilers, right? But the other way, I think, is just dive in. You read everything. You look at all those interviews. You participate, you know. And then when you watch it, you're not surprised. You know exactly what's going to happen, who's in it, what the scenes look like, the costumes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But since you do have so much information, you can see like, oh yeah, I saw the featurette on how that staff was made or whatever. Yeah. And then you get a different kind of enjoyment
Gavin,
than what I'm looking for when I watch movies.
Gav said that there's a phone number that was on something that you could call, and it's his daughter's voicemail machine, and it's all these messages that John Goodman recorded. Like you can hear him talking, like trying to beg her to come back and stuff like that. So that whole element is like that universe is expanded, but it's outside of the movie, which I think is really awesome. But that's content I never consumed.
Are you guys like the special features on DVDs and like all that jazz? You watch all those?
I don't think people use DVDs as much anymore, but I used to for a movie. If I really liked the movie, I would go to check out deleted scenes or alternate endings.
Yeah, I would devour
all
that
extra content that used to exist on the physical disc is now just promotional, right? They release it beforehand.
YouTube. The number one thing I do after I see a movie, even if I disliked it, I'll go to a Reddit and look at the discussion to kind of fully flesh out if my ideas line up with anyone else's, and then to see the other ideas that happen, because there's always like a big discussion thread on like the movies.
Yeah.
I have a personal rule. I will, when I buy a DVD, even if I've seen it before, it'll be in a stack until I watch it. And then I have to watch the special features as well, any featurette things. And then it can go in the sort of shelf.
What? Like,
yeah.
You won't shelf it until.
I won't put it in my shelf with all my stuff.
Oh, you have an inventory system.
Yeah. Basically.
First in, first out. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not like I can watch them in any order, but.
Right.
But yeah, it's like it won't go on the shelf until I've consumed the content, basically. Not that I don't usually do the commentary tracks. I don't worry as much about those.
Ever since Netflix came on, like, I don't buy DVDs.
Yeah.
I own like 6 DVDs total anyway. I'm not really a DVD buyer, but because they don't have the special featured content on Netflix, or at least they didn't used to.
I feel the way when you don't have it, you don't miss it.
Yeah.
Like it's not something I miss.
Right.
And if I hear there's an alternate ending, like I might YouTube to see if
it. Right, exactly. It, you watch the stingers or whatever.
That's about it. It's funny because it's like I felt like that feature was so cool and so necessary in DVDs and Blu-ray. And now that I don't have access to that, I don't notice.
Right.
Just additional content. You watch that instead of another movie or something. Like, yeah. You know, it's.
And usually the deleted scenes were deleted for a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
Usually.
You find
sometimes
that
it's just time-wise, though, or
yeah.
Takes the story in a different direction or something.
There's interesting scenes in there.
Yep.
Like in Donnie Darko, you ever see those deleted scenes? Yeah. That death scene?
Yep.
That's creepy as shit.
Weird. That one's weird. And, oh, yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. Or it's like what the fuck?
I Am Legend alternate ending it's actually supposed to be like in the book and stuff like that. They filmed. They just did both, and one tested better in the U.S. because U.S. likes wrapped up endings.
Makes sense.
David.
Whoops.
Test audience.
All right. Anything else?
Movie suck. Don't see it.
If you want, if you want us to talk about any of the movies, send us each $9 on PayPal and we'll go and talk about it for you.
I need popcorn too. Make that 14.
Yeah.
I saw it Cimarron. So 20. Chocolate popcorn. Perfect.
16.
Yeah. $7.
All popcorn. Right. If you have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-k.com. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.